turning our Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter number 6, and we're going to read a few verses over there. And we got our speakers fixed, I think, so we're glad for that. Appreciate everybody that helped do that, come up here and met with them. And Judges, chapter number 6, we're going to read the end of this chapter. We got last week down through verse number 32, and so tonight we're going to start in verse number 33 down through the end of the chapter. And we desire your prayers. And you
always appreciate your good attention, but the Bible says in Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 33, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, and a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." And so we're reading tonight and studying about Gideon, and it talks here about the fleece. And I don't know, as I think about this, I think about Sunday school. Growing up, seems like I can remember one of our Sunday school teachers brought a little sheepskin type rug looking thing one time and sort of used that to illustrate the story to us. And then if you've ever looked in a children's Bible or sometimes in Sunday school, they'll have Gideon's story, and they'll talk about this fleece, and there'll be pictures of him wringing water out of it, things like that. That seems to be where I remember this story of Gideon from, more from Sunday school days than I have. I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach on it. I've heard it mentioned, but I don't think I've ever heard it preached on. I'm sure it's one of the most well-known stories or accounts in the Bible, but it's probably one of the least understood things that we read about in the Bible. Gideon is known as a great man of faith. He's listed in God's Hall of Fame of Faith over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. The Bible said over there, "Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah," and it goes on. But he mentions several of the judges there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And Gideon is mentioned first. Now, he's not first in the book of Judges, but in Hebrews chapter number 11, he's the first judge that's mentioned. So, and God never, you know, any order in the Bible is there for a reason. So, in God's estimation, I believe that the Lord puts Gideon at the top of that list. He mentions him first, but he's not the first judge. If you were looking at a timeline of the judges. But where we find Gideon being a great man of faith is not in chapter number 6, it's in chapter number 7. And we're going to get to chapter number 7 eventually, but it's chapter number 7 is why Gideon is known for his faith. Chapter number 6, we could say, and we've already pointed this out a couple of times, talking about Gideon in chapter number 6, there's a time of growth there. The Lord is bringing Gideon along. Gideon, in chapter number 6, we find that there's some baby steps. God didn't put Gideon directly into the battle. But God called Gideon first of all. This is what we've looked at so far. There's the call of Gideon in verses 11 through 24. And then we said in verses 25 through 32, there's the commencement of Gideon when he first begins to serve the Lord. And we noticed last week how that he began in his father's house. And really, he did a very simple thing that the Lord asked him to do. That was the very beginning of Gideon actually doing something. And then in what we've read already tonight, verses 33 through 35, there is a convening. And what we mean by that, Gideon blows a trumpet and begins to call the children of Israel together for battle. And if we just look down through these verses, we could say this. We could say, so far, so good. I mean, looks pretty good to me what's going on up to this point. For example, if you look in verse number 34, the Bible said, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." And so when Gideon blew this trumpet, the men of Abiezer came. They were the first ones to get in line to say, "Gideon, I'll go into battle with you if that's what God's laid on your heart to do. And we're going to go fight these Midianites." They were the first ones to come and say that they would help him. Well, if you look back in verse number 24, the Bible said, "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites." That's the same crowd that wanted to put him to death. If you look in verse number 30, "Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die." And so things are looking up for Gideon. The men that just real recently they wanted to put him to death. Now the Spirit of God is upon Gideon. He blew the trumpet. And these are the first men that have a change of heart. And they come and they get in line and they say, "Gideon, we're going to go into battle with you." So I'd say that's a pretty good sign. They were against him. They wanted to bring him out that they could kill him, that he might die. But now they're willing to go into battle with him. So wouldn't we all look at that and say, so far so good? I mean, we're heading in the right direction. These things look pretty good to me. You look on down at verse number 35, we're talking about there's a convening. The word convene means to gather together. Gideon blows a horn, Gideon blows the trumpet, and the men in his hometown, they fall in the line. They're going to follow him into battle. Verse number 35, "And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him." So not only are the men of his hometown going to follow him and go with him into battle, but the men, it says here, throughout all Manasseh, they also are going to follow after him. "He sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them." And so Gideon, he's not in this thing all alone, all by himself. But there is an army being gathered together. These neighboring tribes, these other children of Israel, these tribes, these clans, they're coming together. And they've got an army convening together, coming together. And after 7 long years of being mightily oppressed by the Midianites, somebody's finally going to do something. Somebody's going to take a stand. Somebody's going to go into battle, and they are going to try by the help of the Lord to do something about the Midianites. So everything it looks like is going well for Gideon, and by every evidence it looks like what the Bible says back in chapter 6 verse number 12 looks like by every evidence that what we find in verse number 12 is a reality. If you go back to verse 12, the Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee." Now it looks to me like as I read on down through chapter number 6, everything that has happened in Gideon's life up to this point, the Lord is with him. The Lord has blessed him. The Lord has given him success and protection, and now an army is gathering unto Gideon. It looks like what the Lord told Gideon in verse number 14 is going to come to pass. The Bible said in verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." So everything's going good for Gideon. And it looks like what God has told him is going to come to pass. is actually going to come to pass, and that Gideon is going to be used to save Israel from the Midianites. And so down through verse number 35, we say again, so far so good. Everything looks good. Everything physically and on the outside, everything's looking good for Gideon. But what we're going to focus on tonight is verses 36 down through verse number 40. And this is a passage of scripture about the fleece, about Gideon putting out the fleece. And what we are going to find in verses 36 through 40, everything up to this point has taken place publicly. And so we've all seen the army gathering together, and Gideon blows the trumpet and the Spirit of God's on him, and people are starting to come, men are starting to come, the ranks of the army are beginning to fill up, and all of these things have taken place publicly. We can all see this, but what we're going to see, we're going to go with Gideon, we're going to go behind the tent doors, and what we're going to see is Gideon in private. And Gideon in private is different from Gideon in public. And you know, a lot of times that's the way that it is. Gideon in public looks like that everything is going his way and everything is going to be all right. But when we come into Gideon's, I'm just using that picture in our minds there. When we come privately into Gideon's life, what we find in private is much different from what we find publicly outside the tent. Outside, there's a great number that is gathering together for battle. But inside the tent, there's one person, and he's going through a battle. And that's Gideon. And a lot of times, on the outside, everything looks good and fine and wonderful. Everything looks like it's being successful. Everything looks like it's just going right on track, right according to plan. But inside, there's a great battle, a crisis of faith going on. And Gideon has a crisis of faith in his life that is going on. And if I was titling this tonight, and I didn't come up with it, I read it somewhere else, but they didn't use it as a title, but I'm going to give it as a title tonight, I would preach on the subject, No Peace in the Fleece. You ever heard that? Ever heard anybody say that? I'd never heard that or read that before. No peace in the fleece. And I'm going to show you that from God's Word tonight. We could also call this how not to discern God's will. Now, this ought to be interesting to us tonight, because there's many times in our lives that we do want to discern God's will. We want to find out what God wants us to do. Here's how not to do that. What we find here in Gideon is how not to discern God's will. I know you've heard people talk about throwing out the fleece and testing this and testing that, but really there's no precedent. There's no precedent in Scripture for this. This is not held up as being the way to find out God's will. And we'll see tonight that it's how not to discern God's will, and really there's no peace in the fleece. Number one, let me show you some things about no peace in the fleece. Number one, the fleece is earthly. What I mean by that, as opposed to heavenly, he's already heard from heaven, and the fleece was not mentioned. It's an attempt at worldly wisdom. It is a self-centered attempt at being spiritual. What Gideon does here with the fleece is not spiritual. It's actually a sign of lack of faith, not faith. And I'll show you that from God's Word. But look what it says here in verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God. Now we'll stop right there. This is an earthly, fleshly thing that Gideon does. This is not a heavenly thing. What we find here in verse number 36, and Gideon said unto God. You see, it was Gideon that initiated the test of the fleece. And it was Gideon that set the parameters of the test, this sign that he sought from God. Gideon said unto God. God didn't say to Gideon, God's already said to Gideon. But now Gideon, in a time of crisis, says to God. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse number 23, the last part of that verse, it says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And so if we operate and we do things not in faith, it is sin. And as I read verse number 36 here, what I get in my mind is that if Gideon was a lawyer, he would have come to the Lord and he would be saying, "Now, Lord, I know what you've told me to do. And I know, Lord, that you said you'd be with me and that I would deliver the Midianites. And Lord, I heard what you said and I know what we've agreed upon. But Lord, I've taken the liberty to draw up a little contract. I've got a little test. And if you really mean what you said." That's what Gideon said to the Lord. "Lord, if you really mean what you said, then this and this and this, let these things come to pass." That's what Gideon is doing. That's why this is not a spiritual thing at all. Look at verse 36 and see if that's not what he's doing. "And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." You see, Gideon, he did not misunderstand what God had said. He knew what the Lord had said. He restated what the Lord had said unto him. "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand," that's exactly what God had told him. He knew that. He understood it. "As thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece." See, the Lord's not testing Gideon. Gideon is testing the Lord. But I will say tonight before I go on that before we're too hard on Gideon, we've probably all done the same thing in our lives. We've done that. We've done things like that before. And I know that I've done this before. Lord, if I'm supposed to trade cars, I haven't traded in a long time, not where it cost me anything. Have you ever done anything like that? "Lord, if I'm supposed to buy that, then let that salesman be there. The one that I like to talk to, not the other one I don't like to talk to." Well, where else is the salesman going to be? That's where he works. You know, we set these things on. Let the one that I like to talk to answer the phone or be available to get on the phone. You ever done anything like that? Tested the Lord in that way? See, that's the same thing Gideon was doing here. "Lord, if they call by 2 o'clock, I'll know that it's your will." Well, what if they call by 2:01? Is that close enough? Preachers are the worst in the world to do things like that. "Well, I prayed, and if I'm supposed to go down there, I'm praying that it'll be 80% vote. I'm praying it'll be 90%. If it's the Lord's will for me to go down there, it's got to be 100%. I've heard all of that. But here's the thing. If you know God told you to go, would you not go if it wasn't what you said? If God told you to go somewhere and do something, it wouldn't matter if it was 50%. If God told you to go. And most of the time we know one way or the other. I've seen preachers do that. I've done things like that in my life. And so here we have Gideon. Gideon is putting the thing before the Lord. And Gideon is setting up the test to be involved. And the fleece is an earthly thing. Number two, the fleece is a dead thing. What I mean by that, in verse number 37, he said, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand." And look what he said again, "as thou hast said." He knew what God said. But here he puts the Lord's will in the fleece, but the fleece is a dead thing. What I mean by that, Gideon is putting his trust in something that is literally dead. There's no life in the fleece. There's no spirit in the fleece. There's no consciousness in the fleece. There's no power in the fleece. I imagine Gideon sort of like Linus. You remember Linus on Charlie Brown? He always carried that blanket around. That was his security blanket. You know, he kept it near him all the time. And this is sort of Gideon, this fleece, and what that is, it's a sheep wool, a blanket that you would or use as a blanket to pull over you at night, or maybe when it's warm to lay upon at night. And Gideon is using this thing, and he's putting confidence in this thing, but this is a dead thing. There's no power in the fleece. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." We either mind the things of the flesh or we mind the things of the Spirit of God. We either listen to the things of this world and we put stock in the things that the dead things of this world, or we listen to what God says. The fleece is a dead thing. It's a powerless thing. Number three, the fleece is given to coincidence. And what I mean by that, it's not a foolproof test. Verse number 38, here's what he said. "And it was so, for he rose up early." Now he put it out in verse number 37. He said, "And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water." And so the Bible says that Gideon rose up early in the morning. When he rose up early in the morning, he gets his fleece and he checks his test and he throws the fleece together and he wrings out a whole bowl full of water. And that's what he'd asked the Lord for. But I imagine as the day went on that here comes doubt creeping in. And the wheels in Gideon's mind begin to turn, and he begins to think to himself, "Now, that could have been just a coincidence." I mean, he began to think to himself, what if the wool, you know, sometimes, and we've all probably experienced this, some material retains the dew easier than others does. Wool would be that way. It would gather moisture. Gideon begins to think in his mind, you know, what if the conditions were just, what if the Lord wasn't in that at all? And what if I didn't wake up early enough and it's dry and the dirt just soaked in the dew and the wool just held it together? And doubt comes in and he begins to think, you know, and all these things, you know, that could have just happened. Was that really the Lord? You see, there's no peace in the fleece. He asked the Lord, "Let it be dry on the ground, let it be wet on the dew." And the Lord allowed that thing to happen, so much so that Gideon got up and he threw it together and he wrung out a whole bowl full of water. But even though God answered that prayer, there was no peace in it, because he had to do it again. When you really have peace about something, you don't have to keep testing and testing and praying and looking for signs and all of these things. So he had to do it again. He had to do it the other way around. He said, "Well, that could have happened. I mean, maybe that was just a coincidence." So Gideon thinks about it and he turns it around the other way in verse number 39. And he prays it the other way around. But I want you to notice this. Verse number 39, the Bible said, "And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me." Now, if what he's doing is right, why would he think it would make the Lord mad? But I believe that Gideon knew that what he was doing it out of a lack of faith, not a strength of faith. "Lord, just let me come one more time. Don't be angry with me." He said this, "I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece." But it wasn't once, it's twice. But that's how we are. "Lord, just one more sign. Don't be mad at me. Don't be angry with me. He said, let it now be dry only on the fleece and upon all the ground, let there be dew. But Gideon knew that was wrong, or he wouldn't have been praying to the Lord not to be angry about it. Let me just ask you one more thing. The fleece is given to coincidence. If you pray about something and say, God, if it's your will, let me pass a red car and then a blue car. And I don't think I've ever done that, but I'll tell you, it's probably surprising what we prayed. Well, couldn't all that just be coincidence? A lot of things we could, especially if our faith is not where it should be. It is not a foolproof thing once we get outside of God's word and begin to pray and trust in percentages, or we begin to look for a certain person to be in a certain place and all of these kinds of things. It is given to coincidence over and over. Four times in the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith, not by fleece, but by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let me tell you this about the fleece. Number four, the fleece wastes time. It's a waste of time for Gideon to do this. Verse number 39, the Bible said, and Gideon said unto God, he said, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night. Now this second night, this 2 days. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. It did not only waste 1 day, it wasted 2 days. 2 days of what my dad would put it like this, gomming around with that fleece after the Lord had already told him what to do. And here he is, doubting the Lord. God, if it's true what you said, then let it be like this. But the Lord had already said it. And Gideon already knew it. And God had already told him he was going to be with him. And God had already told him that he was going to deliver the Gideonites. And he wasted one whole day. And he thought about it and doubted about it. And then he wasted a whole other night. And it went by. And it wastes time. And I'm telling you, a lot of times when we live by the fleece and not by the faith, we linger and we postpone and we doubt what we already know God has told us to do. We've all wasted time doubting, praying, looking for a sign. I know of several preachers that have testified and talked about running from God. The longest one I've ever heard of, I had a preacher friend, and he told me, he testified one time, and he said he run from God for 10 years. Can you imagine knowing for 10 years knowing what God wanted you to do? And he told me with tears in his eyes, he said, look at all that time I've wasted, running from the Lord, running from what God told me to do. And again, I say this, we need to understand this, Gideon had perfect understanding of what God wanted him to do. He said two times, verse 36 and verse number 37, as thou hast said. And then he said again in verse number 39, let me prove what you've said, what you've already said to me. I've got a test. I'm doubting. The fleece wastes time. Now, I know what people say about what I've been saying tonight, but preacher, the Lord did it. The Lord allowed the fleece to be wet one morning, and the Lord, yes, he did. He allowed the fleece to be dry the next morning, and it wet upon all the ground. Yes, the Lord did that. And he remembereth that we are dust. That's what the Bible says. And I'll say along those lines also tonight that there's been times in my life where the Lord has answered some doubting prayers I've prayed. There's been some times the Lord has allowed the person I wanted to pick up the phone, or the Lord has allowed different things to happen in my life when my faith was weak. And so the Lord didn't punish him and the Lord didn't rebuke him, but you remember in chapter number 6, Gideon's faith is growing. Gideon is becoming the man that God wants him to be. And God allowed the fleece in his life, but in chapter number 7, see, God's making a great man of faith out of him. What I have prayed about and things I've done in the past, I surely hope that I've grown enough in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that what I've done in lack of faith and spiritual immaturity, that I don't carry that all the way through my life. Yeah, the Lord did that. God's good. God's merciful. God is loving kindness towards us. But I want to say this. Gideon already had everything that he needed. I want to show you something tonight before we close. That Gideon already had, before he prayed and before the fleece upon the ground, Gideon had everything that he needed already to discern the will of God. And so if we're interested in finding God's will for our life, how do we find God's will for our life? It is not by throwing fleece upon the ground. Number one, God guides us by His Word. You want to find out what God wants? Find it in His Word. Don't find a verse and make it fit to what you want to do, but let God speak to you from His Word. That is how we discern God's will. We're not living in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord doesn't visit us like He did Gideon and Samson's parents and some of the other people in the Bible. We've got God's complete, perfect Word. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God guides us by His Word. And look back in verse number 12. Gideon already had God's Word. Verse 12, the Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him." That's the Word of the Lord. He already knew what God said. God had already given him His Word. So how do we find God's will? Number one, God guides us by His Word. When I felt like God was calling me to preach, I went to another young preacher in the church and I talked to him and I talked to my pastor and I said, "How do you know? How do I know if this is what God wants me to do?" And both of them told me, they said, "God will show you in His Word." And He sure did. He'll show you in His Word. So God guides us by His Word. Number two, God guides us through good desire in our life. I'm not going to go back and rehash everything I've already said about Gideon, but I've already mentioned that in the early verses of chapter number 6, God sent a prophet, verses 7 through 10. I'd never noticed this prophet before. This prophet had a message about why the children of Israel were in the shape that they were in, and he had a message to them about the things that God had done for them in the past in being good to deliver them from the Egyptians. And so God's man had already been through with God's Word, and when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and told him, "The Lord is with thee," in verse number 13, Gideon repeated that prophet's message to the Lord. In verse number 13. And even though when we find Gideon, Gideon is weak and he is fearful and he is helpless to do anything against the Midianites and he is hiding against them, I do believe with all of my heart that we find in him that he had a desire that things would be different. God gives us the right desires if we delight in him. And Gideon had a godly desire. He didn't want to personally do it, and that's how we are a lot of times, but he had a desire that somebody would. Verse 15, "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Lord, somebody ought to do something, just not me. But I do believe Gideon had a desire that something would be done. God had already put that desire in him. As he was down there threshing wheat and it was falling back down his collar and itching him to death and he is oppressed and he is afraid and all those things, I believe that Gideon had in his heart a desire that things would be different. The Bible tells us in Psalms 37 and verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." If we delight ourselves in the Lord, it doesn't mean he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, I want a new whatever. It means he'll give you the right desire. As in 1 Timothy 3 and 1, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. That desire comes from the Lord. God guides us. God puts on our heart to do things. And Gideon had the right desire. And Gideon was guided by the word of the Lord. The Lord came to him and told him what he was going to do. Number three, God guides us through his peace that is based upon his word. Now, there's no peace in the fleece. He prayed and God answered and he didn't have peace and he had to pray and God answer again. But if you remember, if you go back in verse number 24, God had already told Gideon what he was going to do and how he was going to deliver, or that he was going to deliver the Midianites. And you remember in verse 23, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. God told him, "Peace be unto thee." And he built an altar and he named it Jehovah is Peace. Gideon already had the peace of God concerning this thing. He'd already worshiped the Lord. You know, a lot of times that's how we are. We'll get peace about something. And then time, and then we get to thinking about it and doubting about it, and then we got to go back and pray all over it again. And God's already showed us. God's already given us peace. When things got real serious and he blew the horn and the army got to come and his peace got gone. Boy, is God really in this thing? But he had already been shown and he already had peace, and he built that altar and he named it Jehovah. What it says there, it means Jehovah is peace, but he named it Jehovah Shalom. And that means God is peace. He couldn't say that over a bowl of water. Although God gave him a bowl full of water, but he still didn't have peace. That's why I say there's no peace in the fleece. God guides us by his word. God guides us through right desires. God guides us through peace that is based upon his word. I've seen people say, "Well, I've got peace about it," but they've got no word of God about it. If you've got peace about something that is contrary to the Bible, your peace is false. Our peace needs to line up with the Word of God. And his peace did. God said, "I'm with you. I'm going to deliver the Midianites." And he had peace about it. Then he began to doubt about it. Number four, how does God guide us and show us his will? Number four, God guides us through his Spirit. Now in verse 34 it said, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet." And that's a picture of sounding out the gospel. You find that comparison made over in the New Testament. He blew a trumpet, but not until the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God guides us into all truth. John 16, verse number 13. And God's children do need to know what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. But again, the Spirit of God will never lead us contrary to his word. Don't say God led me to do this if it doesn't line up with the word of God. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth. He guides us through his Spirit. Number five, then, not at the top of the list, but at the bottom of the list, God uses people and God uses circumstances. God does use circumstances. God does order the steps of our path. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God uses people. God uses circumstances. And Gideon had already experienced the blessing of God on what God had told him. We pointed out last time that his dad got right with God, verse number 31. Joash, his father, was the ringleader in worshiping Baal. But after Gideon threw down the altar of Baal, the Bible said, Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Joash had a complete change of heart. Gideon should have looked at that and said, boy, you know, all these years, Dad's been worshiping Baal. He's been worshiping false gods. And when I obeyed the Lord, Dad got right with God. I should have let Gideon know the Lord was with him. And then when he blew the trumpet and the army assembled together in verses 33 and 34, verse number 35, Gideon should have said, you know, I'd have never thought when I was down there hiding from the Midianites that people would come out to battle and to support and to be on the side of right. But they did. You see, Gideon already had circumstances. Gideon already had people that were coming together. But God uses these things. But sometimes God even answers us in our weakness, because I believe that was in verses 36 down through verse number 40, a moment of weakness, a crisis of faith in Gideon's life. I mean, this is big time stuff we're talking about. He's getting ready to go to war. And it's not only going to be him that might be killed. There's a lot of daddies and a lot of brothers and grandpas out there. And I can see, you know, Lord, is this really? That's what he's doing. Lord, is this really what you want me to do? He's having a crisis of faith. We've all done that before. When the Lord showed me that he showed me from his word that he wanted me to preach. You know what I did the next day? I said, Lord, I seen that, but would you show me one more time? And he did. I've told that story before. But the Lord, he showed me. I asked more than one time. When God was calling us to go to the state of Idaho and take a church that a missionary had started, the state of Idaho, and I mean, it started showing up everywhere. We couldn't deny it. I passed by a calendar down at my grandparents' house. I'll never forget that. And they always had it hanging by the door as you go out. And it was, and I was walking by the door, and God is working on my heart about going out there. And I walked by that calendar, and I thought, boy, that sure is pretty, that scene. I've never noticed that before. And I walked up real close to it and looked at it. Stanley, Idaho. Wouldn't you ever hear about Idaho in the news? We started getting mail from Idaho we'd never seen before. And I found, I forget all the things, but I mean, it just everywhere, undeniable, that God wanted us to go to Idaho. But I didn't go to Idaho because I seen a picture on a calendar. I went because God showed me in his word. God does use those things. But it's not the thing that we base our faith upon. The lesson of the fleece is a faith check in our lives, that we would ask ourselves, who or what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in circumstances? Am I trusting in coincidences? Or am I trusting in what God has showed me from his word and impressed upon me by his spirit and given me peace about in my heart? You know, how are we following the Lord along in this life? Who am I listening to? What am I trusting in? Am I trusting or am I stalling? I think sometimes we stall against what the Lord is showing us to do. But God allowed the fleece to be wet one day and dry the other day. And that reminds us again that God, he does hear and answer our prayers. And he does realize what we're made out of. And we are weak sometimes. But we are to live by faith and not by fleece. And that's faith in the word of God. Now next week, probably what everybody is most familiar with when you think about Gideon. Gideon, he gets ready to go into battle. And so that's what we're going to look at. I want you to read ahead. I hope you got something out of it or get something out of it as you come out to church tonight. I hope it's a help and a blessing to you. And the Lord knows we need our faith increased.